As always, monitors, please. As always, we find all the sermons that we're doing, the one today, the series, every sermon for the last years are at on the website at www.lifegatechurch.com. Anything you want to study should be there by now. If it's not, tell me and I'll do it. So it will be there. If you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Find us and like us. Well, we're starting a new series today, and it's called Trust God's Timing. Do you? Do you trust God's timing? Do you think you do? So what we're going to do is we're going to analyze that. We're going to take a look at it. Because in life, we're always looking and waiting for something to happen. We're always praying and expecting something to happen. Maybe you're praying for a healing in your body or for the healing of someone that you love. You're praying about that. Or maybe you're praying for an opportunity to come by that's going to take you to the next level of living in your life. Maybe you're praying about that. Maybe you're waiting for a goal to be acquired, a goal you've been praying for a long time. You're waiting on that to happen. Or maybe you have a wish. You know, you just want a wish to come true. And you're praying and you're wishing for that to happen. Or maybe there's an argument that's caused a division in a relationship that's important to you. Maybe not you, but maybe someone else. And you know, if this argument could be settled, then this relationship could be resolved and this thing could take care of itself. Or maybe you know, there's this dream. There's a dream that you have. Maybe there's a problem that you're waiting. You've been praying about a problem that you really need answered so that it'll take care of situations. But when we're waiting and we're praying like that, and it's nothing seems to be happening, they don't seem to be getting anywhere, what we usually end up doing is becoming very frustrated. We become very discouraged. We become discouraged with God. We become discouraged with church. We become discouraged with the things of the Spirit. We become discouraged with the people of God. And what we've got to do is we've got to realize some things here. And I've even seen this cause people to lose their faith, turn their back on God and walk away. When God didn't perform as they thought that he should, when they thought that he should, they became discouraged and they then forced things to happen. And when we force things to happen, a lot of times we create a bigger mess. And then we want God to bless our mess. And when God doesn't bless our mess, then we get angry with God and we walk away. So this is extremely important that we understand the importance of trusting God and his timing. Now, what we've got to realize, first thing, is that when we pray something, when we feel something in our spirit, in our heart, when we pray it, what God does is he sets it into our future. And he gives it a prepared time, a time for it to take place in our future. So let me show you this in the scriptures. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5. Just a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Of course it is. It's the word of God. But here's what it says. It says, whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. Now that's good. That's really good. But it's in conjunction with the rest of it. That and is the conjunction. And the wise heart will know the proper time. So God has set a proper time, the proper time and procedure. Not just a proper time, but a proper procedure. Now what does that mean? What that means is that there is a proper time, but you got to go through the proper procedure to get to the proper time. So we believe that God has the proper time. We just don't want to go through that proper procedure to get there. But there's a proper time and a proper procedure. And he says that the wise heart, and I want you to hold on to that, because this is what the wise heart knows. And he goes on and he says, for there is a proper time and procedure for what? For what? Every matter. Everything that matters in your life is set in a proper time. But to get there, you've got to go through the proper procedure. Everything that will ever matter in your life is already set into your future. All you got to do is go through the proper procedure to get to it. Though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. So there is the proper time that God has set and a proper procedure that God has provided for us in every matter that matters. And the wise heart knows this. Now, let's flip that over just a little bit and look at it and observe it from the other angle of it. So if I don't have a wise heart, that means I have a foolish heart, and a foolish heart makes foolish decisions, right? And so this is when I get into trouble, you see. This is when I cause chaos. This is when I cause misery. This is when misery comes into my life. I get out of God's timing. I get out of his prepared ways. I get out of waiting for his time to come along and going through it, the process that I need to go through the procedure to get to it. And this is when I begin to have problems. And I start doubting God, and I start saying, what if? What if? What if I don't find the right person to marry? What if the person that I have won't marry me? What if I don't get that job? What if I don't get my healing? What if I don't have that opportunity that's going to raise me to the next level? What if? And we begin doubting. And so we force things to take place. We make things happen, creating bigger messes. And this is what I want us to see today. See, what we've got to learn how to do is trust God's timing. He has a proper time. He has a way that we've got to process through, proceed through, so that we can get to it. We've got to realize that God has a proper time set into our life for our healing to come. But it's going to take a proper procedure. We've got to realize that there is a proper opportunity that we've got to have. God's already got it set, but we've got to proceed through the proper procedure. We need to understand that the goals we have, the dreams we have, the problems we have, all have the right answers. They're already set into the proper time, but we've got to go through the proper procedure. Now, this may take a while to happen. It may take next week. It may take a year from now. It may take 5 years from now, or it may take a lot longer than that. But just simply knowing that there is a proper time and that there is a proper procedure that I go through to get to that proper time should give me a lot of peace, knowing that God already has this scheduled for me, that I should be able to recline in life. I should be able to rest, not have stress, not go through all the dilemmas that I can stir up in my life. I can live a stressless life. I can live a happier life. Hopefully a healthier life, even maybe a longer life, if I can just find out and get settled into the aspects that God already has all of this set already in his timing, in his schedule. It's already there for me. Now, I know a lot of you have been praying for something for a long time, and it hasn't happened, and you've become discouraged. You've gotten frustrated, and you're wondering about this God thing, this church thing. You know, is it even worth it? You know, so what if God showed you? He took out his day planner, and God showed you in his day planner that the very thing that you've been praying about and wanting to happen for a long time, that very thing was going to happen on August the 14th. Now what happens? You're not frustrated anymore. You're not discouraged anymore. You become excited. You're anticipating August the 14th coming. You're getting ready for it. For example, say you've been praying for the right person to meet that you want to spend the rest of your life with. You've been praying about this, huh? And nothing's happening. It doesn't seem. But what if God showed you that it was going to happen? That you were going to meet this person, the person of your dreams, the person that you were going to live with the rest of your life. You were going to meet him on September the 10th at 3:03 in the afternoon. Now what happens? You're not discouraged anymore. Well, you'll go to the gym. You'll start working out. Right? You'll go on a diet. You'll buy some new clothes. You get excited. You start looking forward to it. And you say, this is the way we should anticipate what we know is coming for us. We should be excited about these things. And I wish I could just give you a prayer to pray and say, if you would pray these words, if you would pray it just this way, inflect on these particular words right here that I've got underlined for you. If you will say it exactly like this, then it will happen for you next week. Or maybe next year. We'd settle for next year, wouldn't we? So what if I could do that? But we know that's not how it works. That's not reality. That's not the way it happens. It would be great. It would be wonderful if God would tell us when we would meet that person. Or when our ultimate dream would come around. Or when that child would get straightened out. Or when our healing would come. But it doesn't work that way. And you see, this is where faith steps in. This is about faith. Because what faith includes is actually having a patience with God. Having a trust in God. God honors His Word. God's going to do His Word. And God tells you in His Word there is a proper time and a proper procedure. He tells us this. But here's the situation. Are you going to be able to wait until the proper time? Are you going to be able to go through the proper procedure? Are you going to be able to do this with the right attitude? Are you going to be able to continue to do this, doing what you know the Lord would have you to do? See, that's where the question comes in. God is faithful to His Word. He's going to do His Word. He's just not going to do His Word according to your schedule. So we all know that God makes us the promise. There is the proper time. There is the proper procedure. It's going to happen. He makes us the promise. We got a promise. All right. Now the question is, can you endure? Can you go through the process? Can you go through the procedure? And can you keep a right attitude while you're doing it? Can you not turn your back on God and lose your faith? And I've watched so many people turn their back on God when God didn't perform according to their schedule. They'd get all upset and distraught, and they would try to force something to happen, and sure enough, they'd make the thing worse. They have this huge mess. Now it stinks, and life stinks, and God's not blessing their mess, and so they turn and they walk away from God. See, you can't do that. You can't allow your thoughts to let you do that. You can't allow your thoughts to rob you of your faith and cause you to doubt. If you do that, then you're just going to open up misery in your life. If you do that, then what's going to happen is you're going to, at best, delay the answer from coming, but probably stop it. We've got to learn to rest in God. And this is the next scripture I want to show you. It's in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Says, for only we who believe can enter His place of rest. Now, we've got to stop there just a second. Only who can enter His place of rest, God's place of rest? Only who? We who believe. He goes on. As for those who didn't believe, God said, in my anger, see, God gets upset when we don't believe right. In my anger, I made a vow. They will never enter my place of rest, even though His place of rest has been ready since He made the world. Now, leave that up there just a second. I want you to see something. Only those who believe can enter this place of rest. This is a supernatural place of rest. It's a place of patient peace. But the way you know, the way I know that I am believing, the way I should believe, that I am a believer, is that I can enter it. The way I know that I'm a believer, because only the believers can enter it, is that I can enter into this place of a patient peace. I can enter into this time where I have this faith in God. That I enter into this area where I'm trusting the Lord. That I know that it's coming. See, it takes faith. It takes faith to say, Lord, I don't know when you're going to do it. I just know you will do it. It takes faith to say, Lord, I believe it is in my future, that you already have it properly placed in my future. And if I go through the process, if I go through the way you want me to do it, then, Lord, I am going to acquire my promise. Lord, help me do the process. Help me, Lord God, stay in the way that I need to be, in the way you want me to go. Help me, Lord, accomplish this. If I get out of your way, Lord, help me get back in. I don't want to miss my promise. It takes faith to do that. It requires you to have faith to say, Lord, I am just going to rest in you. I am going to leave it in your hands. I am not going to force things to happen. And I am going to just rest in you. Now, here's probably the most important thing I'm going to say all day. So try to get this part. I think it's so important that if there is a proper time and a proper process that I'm going to go through, then that means there is an improper time and there's an improper process that I go through. If there is a right time and procedure, then there is a wrong time and procedure. If there is a proper time and a proper procedure that will take me to my blessing and the promise and the thing I'm praying for, then there is also an improper time and an improper procedure that will take me away from my blessing and take me into heavy misery. Now, we've got to get this. We've got to get this. For example, using the analogy again, that, you have this person that you're praying and you're saying, Lord, I can't live without them. I want this person. I want to spend my life with this person. I can't live without them. Lord, please, please, please. But then they drive off into the sunset with someone else and breaks your heart. And you're angry with God. Why didn't you let this happen? Why? Why is this happening to me? Here's the thing. See, you don't have a wise heart. This is a foolish heart. You're not resting in God. See, God knows that, yeah, today you're praying. You're praying. I can't live without this person. But he knows that in 10 years from now, you're going to be praying, Lord, I can't live with this person. Right? See, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's got something better for you. God knows exactly. He's trying to spare you heavy misery. He's trying to keep your life from stinking. He's trying to keep your life from becoming a mess. But if you go chasing after it and you try to make it happen, God's going to let you do it and he's not going to bless your mess. I'll tell you a story. This happened years and years ago. We had gone back to the city, the town that we moved from to come here. And it was Judy, my wife, and my daughter Bonnie, and myself. And we were going to visit some friends. And I don't know why, it was just us shopping, but just us three were shopping this particular day in a nice store. And we were walking around in the store. Well, we ran into an old girlfriend of mine. And now Judy knew her from our teenage years. And and my old girlfriend had really changed. And not from the good. Not for the good. Life had not been good to her. And comparing her to my wife, there was no comparison. I have a beautiful wife. And at one time, this had been a very pretty girl. But life had not been good to her. And she began relaying to us how her life had gone. And she'd gone through a couple of marriages. And, you know, it was been bad. And it was telling us all the events. And they were mostly negative that she had experienced in life. And so, you know, we're talking and we're telling her about our life and, you know, we're doing pretty good and how our life is going. So eventually, you know, we didn't talk long. We walked on off. So Bonnie looks at her mother and says, who was that? And her mother said, that's one of your dad's old girlfriends. And she looks at me, Bonnie, as only Bonnie can do. She looks at me and she says, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. And here is the greatest line. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Now, Bonnie wanted me to know that for sure, even if I wasn't thinking it. She wanted to make sure that I was thinking it. What I do know is that God knows what He's doing. And we've got to just trust God. We've got to rest in God. You see, because I was thinking back about that. You know, I could have had some heavy misery. I was thinking about even when we were dating, my old girlfriend, we were dating. She was a hottie, kind of. You know, she was flirty. She flirted with the guys and stuff, you know. And so it could have contributed to some of her life things, you know. And you know, I was thinking about that. You know, I know now that she was not right for me. She was not good for me. And maybe you're going through something like that. Maybe you're dealing with something like that right now. Maybe you have someone who's you think might not be right for you. They don't treat you right. They're mean to you. Maybe he's mean to you. Maybe he's selfish. Maybe he doesn't treat you with respect. Maybe she is a flirty. Maybe she spends too much money. Maybe whatever. You know, maybe they're not believers. Well, listen, what you don't want to do is force it to happen. If you force it to happen, you're going to create for yourself great, heavy misery. Your life is going to stink, and things are going to start going in the wrong direction for you. See, you just got to believe and got to know that God knows what He's doing. You rest in the Lord. Now, you not only rest in the Lord, but you got to rest in the Lord with faith and patience. So this is what we're talking about. You come to a place of trusting God and resting in God, but you do it with faith and patience. Let me show you this. Also in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6 and verse 12, it says this. We do not want you to become lazy. Now, let's ingest this just a second. See, when we rest in God, it's not that we do nothing. We can't become lazy in our faith. We need to keep worshiping. We need to keep being faithful. We need to keep serving. We need to keep loving people. We need to keep giving. We need to keep ministering, loving God, loving people. We need to keep praying. We need to keep praising. We need to keep doing what we know keeps us in the relationship with the Lord. Because if we will, then He'll guide our steps and we won't miss the prepared time for us. Let me read on now. Let me read it again. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience. Faith and what? Faith and patience inherited what has been promised. To get what you want, to get your prayer answered, what you've got to do and to come to that place of that time that God has already prepared for you, you've got to have faith and patience. And the difficult one is patience. It's a lot easier to have faith than it is to have patience. Let me read you this one now in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15, just a few verses down from where I just read. And so after waiting patiently, now I want you to hold on to that thought. After waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now hold that up there just a second, because I want you to see. I don't know how much about Abraham's life that you're aware of. I'm going to talk about it here shortly. It's a lot. I can't cover it all, just a little bit of what relates to what we're talking about here. But if you know anything about Abraham and his wife Sarah, you know initially they were not patient. They forced things to happen, and it stunk. It was a mess. And what I want you to see, here's my point here, that it's not just faith. It's not just believing. Abraham and Sarah believed God would and could, but they couldn't wait for it to happen. They ran out of patience. It was after he waited in patience that the promise came. Now, I want us to see this, because this is where we all mess up. We got the belief part. We know God can. We know He might. He probably will do it. But the patience part, we run out of patience. And so what we end up doing is creating a mess that causes heavy misery in our lives. Now, let me refresh you just a little bit about a life of Abraham and Sarah. Initially, his name was Abram, and her name was Sarai. And they lived in a land of heathens. They lived in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. God called him out. He moved to Haran, but he still didn't leave yet. About 75 years of age, he finally left and went out to follow God. God had given him a promise. And the promise was this. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he says, and I'm going to give your descendants this land that I'm going to take you to. Well, the problem is that Abraham and Sarah didn't have any descendants. They didn't have a child. He was 75 years old. She was 65. They didn't have any children yet, but yet still Abraham said, okay, let's go for it. And so they take off. It is amazing what he did. He left civilization, went out into the wilderness, went out into Never Never Land. I mean, he went out there and lived in faith in God, and he had the faith part down. He did. So he lives out there and living in a tent for 10 years or so. And so he's running out of patience. And he prays to God. He says, Lord, evidently I misheard you. Evidently, you don't really mean, since Sarah is still childless, evidently what you meant was that my heir, this servant of mine named Eleazar, evidently he's going to be the heir. Maybe that's what you meant. Is that what you meant, Lord? So the Lord responds to him and asks and tells him. Here's what the Lord says back to him, Genesis 15, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Abram. This man, Eleazar, will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside. So he must have been inside. So he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now watch this. Abraham what? Abraham believed. He's got the believing part now. It's this patience part he's struggling with. Abraham believed the Lord. He believed the Lord so well and so heavily that it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham had the believing part down. Now this is chapter 15. And the rest of the chapter is spent with sacrifices and busting up animals and bleeding and all this stuff. And anyway, so this is chapter 15. Well, we go down to the very next chapter. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she has a plan. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. In other words, what she's saying is, I'm out of patience here. And it's the Lord's fault, by the way. But I'm out of patience. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham said, okay. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his what? To be his wife. Now, I just want to make a point here. We all blast Abram for slipping and sleeping around. You know, we kind of blast him for that. But Hagar was his wife. They evidently went through some sort of a ceremony. Now, it was polygamy, but it's still not as bad as just sleeping off. All right. So she was his wife, and he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, the misery began. She began to despise her mistress. She began to despise Sarai. Now, so instead of him waiting patiently on the proper time and going through the proper procedures that God had already set out there in his future, he gets an alternate plan. He's going to make it happen. He sides up with Sarai, and they make this other thing happen. And before the baby is even born, as soon as she found that she had conceived, she brought misery into the home, into their lives. She brought heavy. Now, that was 9 months, but it's not nowhere near being over yet. It continues on and on and on for over a decade. So they have a baby. I guess they get together and name him Ishmael. And it did. It smelled bad. It stunk. And this is what happens in our life. When you go off and you force something to happen, you get out of God's prepared time, you get out of and do it your own way, then what you're going to run into is a life that stinks. You're going to have misery in your life. So the baby is born eventually, you know, baby 9 months, baby's born. Ishmael is his name. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, the NIV Bible says it this way, that he was a donkey of a man. Now, other translations say it a different way. But he was a hard-headed, obstinate person. He was extremely difficult to raise. He caused problems all over the place. He mocked people. He caused problems, and he ran wild. He was a wild man. He caused all sorts of situations and problems for the whole community. So we got Hagar here, all bringing her misery. And then we got Ishmael bringing his misery. They got heavy misery they're having to live with. And it just wasn't 9 months or 9 years. This happened over a decade. He was a teenager when he finally departed ways with Abraham. And this is what we create. See, it grew to be such a problem that Abraham had to drive Hagar, his wife, and Ishmael, his son, out. And he cried, and he pleaded with God. He didn't want to do it. God says, do it. Do what Sarah said. Listen, what we learn is this is exactly what happens to us. We run out of patience. We wait 10 years, nothing happens. We force something to happen. We create an Ishmael. We create a messy situation in our lives. And then we ask God to bless it. And we cry and we plead. No. God is not obligated to bless your Ishmael. He's not going to bless your mess. What God will bless is when you wait for the proper time by going through the proper procedures. Not only will he bless that, he will maintain that. And he blessed Isaac. So, what happens here? Well, now enters into where Abraham waited with patience. Now comes the patience part. God comes and visits Abraham. It's a Christophany again. We've been talking about those the last couple of times. Comes, eats a meal with Abram. He has a time of visitation, and then he gets up, and he's about to go to Sodom. And just before he leaves, he says to Abraham this. He says in chapter 18, verse 10. So then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. Now here is the proper time. About this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, so God kind of opened up the day planner and says, here's the plan. About this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Okay. Now, God has a set time. God has the proper time for you. But you've got to go through the proper procedures to get to it. Genesis 18, verse 12, just a couple of verses down. So Sarah laughed to whom? To whom did Sarah laugh? Herself. Nobody's supposed to hear this, right? But how many knows that God hears what's going on the inside of us? Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, watch this, after I am worn out and my master is old, Abraham, he can't do nothing. You know, God, he's 89 years. No, he's 99 years old. I'm 89. I'm worn out. He can't do anything. Will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything, here's where this verse comes from that we hear so much. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So I want to stop right here and ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord? What is it that you're asking the Lord to do for you? Are you worn out? You're getting old. You get to a place you don't even care anymore. No, let me tell you something. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time. At when? The appointed time, which is the proper time. Next year. And Sarah will have a son. Well, did it happen? Well, of course it happened. God said it would happen. Sure it happened. Isaac was born. Isaac, laughter. That's what his name means. Wonder where he got that name. Anyway, laughter. Isaac, and it's through that the promise came. It wasn't through Ishmael. It wasn't through what they created. It was through the proper timing. It was through going through the proper procedures that the promise really came. He came, and he was blessed of God. He was maintained by God. See, Isaac had two sons. One of them was Jacob. And through Jacob, Jacob produced the 12 sons of Israel that became the nation, the great nation that God had promised Abraham. And they gave him the land. God gave them the land. God, the promise comes. But listen, what we've got to learn, what we've got to understand is that it's not going to come in our efforts. It's not going to come in our strength, our creating these miseries that we've got to deal with and that we've got to go through in our lives and in time. See, what we've got to learn to do is trust the Lord, rest in the Lord, wait with faith and patience in the Lord. We've got to bypass the Ishmaels. See, if, again, using that analogy that we've been talking about, you know, this person, you're worried that you'll never meet the right person to live with, or you're worried that the person that you're wanting now isn't maybe the right one, and you're worried about that, but you don't want to give it up because you know what, you know, maybe I won't get anybody else to love me, and or maybe I won't, you know, nobody else will have me, and I won't have this. But no. What you've got to learn to do is you've got to bypass the Ishmaels because God has Isaac in your future. Don't create Ishmaels when God wants to give you Isaac. God has something better for you. Don't settle for less. And the way we always mess up is by creating these times of misery. And then we ask God to bless our mess. And He's not obligated to do that. Every single one of us has a proper time already prepared for us. We just got to go through the proper procedure to get to it. Can you do it? Can you do it? See, this is the plan of God. But also, it takes a wise heart. It takes a heart of wisdom. By having a heart of wisdom, you're going to avoid heavy misery. If you can bypass the Ishmaels and only settle for the Isaacs, then you're going to bypass a lot of misery in your life. We've got to be able to enter into the place of His rest, the place of patient peace. When you do this, then you know you're really believing correctly. You're a true believer. You're truly believing when you can enter into this place of His rest, this place of patient peace. You know that you're in God's timing. You're in God's will. But you can't get lazy. You can't be lazy about it. You can't not do anything. You gotta be faithful to the Lord. You got to continue to give. You got to continue to worship, pray, praise, minister to people, love God, love people. Do the things that you know you're supposed to do. You got to keep doing that so the Lord will continue to guide your steps and you won't wander from the Lord and get on the wrong trail, because there is a wrong time and a wrong procedure. And you see, the difficult part is really having faith and patience. We can do the faith part. We believe. We know God can do it. But do we have the patience to wait on it? Or do we run out of patience? Patience is far more difficult to have than faith. But if you will, you can bypass the Ishmaels and experience the Isaac. You can miss the mess and you can experience the blessing, because God knows what He's doing. Let's pray.